Friends, grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What I wanted to share with you earlier is this. Today is Rogate Sunday. Everybody say Rogate.
Rogate.
It means ask. That's what this Sunday is. Ask Sunday. And you've heard me speak about the Sundays before, so you know usually, very often, the Sunday gets named after the intro. It's not so much the case today. It's Ask Sunday because of the gospel lesson. That is going to be the focus of our meditation this morning, and that is the title of our sermon. Ask. Or if you want to be a hoity-toity Latin speaker, Rogate. That is the title for our message today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Dearly beloved in the Lord, I've been a parent for 18 years. And in 18 years, I have never said to one of my children, whatever you ask, I will give you. I'm just curious, any parent here ever say to your child, whatever you ask, I will give you? Did anybody say that? Yeah, I thought not. Who in their right mind writes that kind of blank check to their children? But here today in the gospel reading, you heard Jesus say, truly, truly, that's two trulies. I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Maybe it's just that Jesus is kind of a rookie parent. Who says, whatever you ask, it will be given? Well, Jesus does. And that kind of leads us to a puzzle, actually. We hear these words, and we actually might be a little confused. Because I'm just wondering, how many times have your prayers been answered the way you want? And you've asked for good things. You've asked for things, not selfish things. You've asked for someone you care about that the cancer be taken from them. But it isn't. You've asked for people who are dear to you to stop going down that path that is self-destructive. You're not seeing any change. What do we do with that? Given what we just heard Jesus say, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. I mean, does it mean that maybe somebody else is praying contrary? If that's the case, I want to know who here has been praying that the coronavirus takes its sweet time. That's probably not it. Maybe it's because there really is no God. Well, no, that's just foolish. It would actually take more faith to believe that there is no God. That can't be the reason our prayers aren't answered like we thought. Maybe it's because there is a God, but he doesn't care. Well, that doesn't make sense either. If God handed over his own son, to death on the cross for us. Now he loves us. He cares about what's going on. So maybe it's that Jesus overstretched. Maybe he promised too much. Well, see, that can't be it either, because Jesus doesn't say things he doesn't mean. And Jesus makes promises like, I'm going to be crucified, and in 3 days I will rise from the dead. And he made good on that promise. I think if Jesus says, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you, it's got to be true. But it's still confusing. Maybe this will help. Maybe we should think about these words. Whatever you ask of the Father, say it with me, in my name, he will give to you. I bet you there's something worth thinking about there. In my name. Whatever you ask of the Father, in my name. What does that mean? Well, take a look at your bulletin for a moment, just the front cover. Look at that image of that man, presumably a monk, because he's got a funny haircut. He's wearing kind of funny clothes, but he's obviously praying. And look where he's looking. To the crucified Christ. See, to ask in Jesus' name is to ask according to God's revelation to us. God has revealed his will. And to ask in his name is to ask according to what God has revealed to us. And what has God revealed to us? Where is the center of all revelation? It's Christ crucified for sinners. Ask in my name, Jesus says, and certainly there is much to talk about. If you read the introduction to the bulletin today, you know that to ask in Jesus' name means to ask as one who's baptized in Christ. It means to ask in faith. It means to ask in confidence, to trust that this promise is true even when we don't see it. But today I want to focus our attention on something very important that I don't know that we think about very often. To ask in the name of Jesus also means this, that we ask according to what God has revealed to us. He's looking at the cross. What does the cross reveal to us? Certainly it reveals that my sin is a problem. So is yours. It certainly reveals to us that Christ has come not to make peace with this world. He has not come to continue with this world. This world crucified him. The revelation of Christ is that he has come to make all things new. He has come to make you and I new. And so look at what that means just today. Look at how the church teaches us to pray according to what God has revealed to us. Today in the collect, we pray this: O God, the giver of all that is good, by your holy inspiration, grant that we may think those things that are right and by your merciful guiding, accomplish them. That's what the church teaches us to pray, according to God's revelation. What if that was our prayer this week? What if our prayer was that God would enable us to think what is right, and that by his merciful giving, actually accomplish these things? What if we prayed that all week long? What if that was our desire? And if that's not our desire, what if we're at least honest with God and say, I know the way it's supposed to be, but that's not what I desire right now. Help me to desire what you want. Which, by the way, then, what we're doing is praying the prayer that we prayed last week when we asked God to teach us to love what he commands and to desire what he promises. See, that's a prayer in Jesus' name. That's a prayer in light of God's revelation. That's a prayer that takes James' words seriously, that it would be a shame if we're only hearers of the word. That what we're longing for, what would really be something, is if we were also doers of the word. Prayer in the name of Jesus. Here's an illustration that I find helpful. Here's one of the chief gifts of prayer. It's like we're in a boat, got a boat hook, and we throw it on land. You got the hook, and then, of course, there's a rope, and you're holding on to that. And notice that when you pull on the rope, you do not pull the land to you. You pull yourself to the land. That is exactly what prayer does. Prayer is that boat hook that lands into God. And it draws us to him. It doesn't draw him closer to us. It actually draws us to him and to his will. Prayer in the name of Jesus. See, if your prayer is, my will be done, then this sermon will not be comforting to you. Jesus' words will not be comforting to you. If your prayer is that somebody else change, or that your circumstances change, prayer will be a torture. It won't make sense. Let's be honest, you probably won't pray very long. Maybe that's actually the reason why sometimes we give up on prayer. That's what happens when essentially we pray, my will be done. But if we pray, thy will be done, that's a beautiful life. If God, by the Holy Spirit, teaches us to pray that his will be done, all of a sudden we're living in confidence. All of a sudden, we know that our prayers are pleasing to God and are heard by him and are answered by him, and that he's doing something. We know that God's will is that the devil, the world, and our sinful nature would be hindered, stopped. And that these things would not have control over us, and instead that we would be kept firm in God's word and faith until we die. See, that's God's good and gracious will, and when we pray that, we can't be disappointed. And we find all of a sudden that everything's a gift. All of a sudden we realize that God is continually blessing us, and even with the ability to finally do things that he invites us to do, that also is a gift. And you can't help but be thankful. And man, has anyone noticed being thankful is a lot better? It's a lot nicer to be thankful than to feel like you're owed something or feel like you're earning something. We might just find ourselves in Moses' shoes. We might just find ourselves actually as friends of God and intercessors with Jesus. Now that is an elevation in status that we who now know God's agenda and his will would start to pray in line with that will, knowing that God takes those prayers seriously and that he actually intervenes in what goes on in the world according to our prayers. I don't know how anybody could be bummed about that. And you know, as we pray continually in the light of what God has revealed to us, we might actually just find ourselves present in the moment, seeing something we didn't see before, rejoicing that God is present. That's peace. That's contentment. That's joy. And that's Jesus' promise to you. I don't know exactly how Jesus is going to answer these prayers, but the joy is that you get to watch and find out. So this week, I want you to burn this image in your mind. Well, you're not a monk, so maybe put yourself in that image. Praying to a holy God who loves you. Praying to your father and your friend in light of what he has revealed through the cross. Let that be what we're shooting for. Because I tell you what, if your prayer simply is that God gets rid of COVID-19, get in line. I mean, it's a good prayer, pray it. But if that's it, see, what the church needs, finally, isn't for God to get rid of COVID-19. What the world needs, finally, is not for God to get rid of COVID-19. Church and the world needs the revelation of Christ. And the church and the world need Christians who, by God's inspiration, think those things that are right. And by his merciful granting, accomplish those things. May that be our prayer this week. And may God grant it for Christ's sake. In Jesus' name. Amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.